Today on Real Radio.
I was afraid thinking the Bible could be real. I remember living and being afraid that I was away from God. Then I looked into the Bible and found out that I was lost. Because the Bible says that by the keeping of the law, by being good, no one will be acceptable in His sight.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his new series through the Old Testament account of Ruth. We're looking at the first three verses of chapter 2. Unlike other parts of Scripture, Ruth is not a letter or collection of prayers or adages. It is an historical narrative and offers much in the area of the Almighty's divine plan. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Kind of Faith We Need to Have.
Isn't that funny? Because in chapter 3, we're going to find out that Ruth was married to Mahlon, who died, remember, a couple Sundays ago? Well, his name meant wimpy or weak. So here she's going to meet up next week with this man called Boaz. And by the way, the Jews believe that he is somewhere 20 to 30 years older than she is. That's funny. Boaz, strong one, influential. He's got money, he's got power, he's got the world, so to speak, by its tail, but he also was known for a man of great integrity, and he loved God, and you'll find out as we go through this study that he was a man who knew the Bible. He was a neat guy, and he's single. And so, it says, so Ruth the Moabite has said to Naomi, please let me go to the field. So she knows about what the Bible says regarding this. And glean heads of grain. The word glean means to scoop up that which has been left. Now watch this. That I may find favor. That God would grant to her favor. Why? Because not all the Jewish landowners were favorable about the writings of Moses and obeying it. Oh, they might have raised their hands in church or synagogue on Saturday. Oh, praise the Lord. But when a poor person stumbled into their land, many of them drove people away. So watch this, you guys, listen to this. Beautiful Ruth, 18 to 25 years of age, says to Naomi, her old and elderly mother-in-law, let me go, let me obey the Bible, let me follow God's leading on this, and go into the field and glean, and pray that I might find favor in the sight of the landowner. She doesn't know who. Naomi says nothing to her, but what does she say at the end of verse 2? You go, girl. She says, go. You go. So you can see her. She grabs her gunny sack, and off she goes. And she's heading to the fields. In a couple of months, we're going to be there. You're going to see the fields. You're going to walk on them in this area of Bethlehem. Incredibly beautiful. Still, today, untouched for thousands and thousands of years. She grabs her bag and off she goes. And listen, look at verse 3. It says that she left. Then she left. People, this is the kind of faith that we need to have. The Bible says a stranger and a foreigner, she's a Gentile Moabite, and she's poor, she meets all the requirements, can go glean in the Hebrews' fields. So what does she do? Verse 3, she gets up. The word left means she gets up and she goes with a purpose. That's what that little word left means. Then she got up and went with a purpose, and she went. The word went means with determination. She's got a purpose, and she's determined to do what? To glean. It says to glean. To pick up the fragments that are left behind. There was no meandering down the path. She's not picking daisies and reading the Inquirer, you know. as she's walking along. She is moving with the purpose. This little cutie, and you'll see that she's a cutie because next week, Boaz, his first words are, "Whose girl is this? What a cutie." By the way, that's what Jesus thinks about you. So she gets up and moves. And there's nothing going to stop her. Now, she's going into the field of the reapers, you guys. All men, young men. She's young. In chapter 3, we're going to find out that Boaz reminds her that she can have any of the young guys of the city. They're all nuts about her. Can you imagine telling your 18 to 25-year-old single daughter who's beautiful, why don't you go down to the construction site and see if you can find any food for us? That's the same thing. The reapers. Go to the field, down by the reapers, see what you can find. That's what the Word of God says for her to do. But many people took advantage of people who were in this condition. That's why next week Boaz is going to say, nobody touches her. Comes to her protection like a knight in shining armor. It's awesome. He commands the young men, stay away from her. I like that. She heads down there to all these guys. They got their shirts off. They're out there reaping, you know, however they do it. They're swinging these things, you know, yo-ho, you know, we're the reapers. You know, and they're all out there in the sun, and they're all just working away. And here comes this little sweetie. She left with a purpose and determination to go glean. She didn't go down there to peek to watch the boys work. She's got a heart of character. She's a wonderful woman of God, even though she's a brand new believer. Tells us a little bit something about her home life back in that pagan land. Must have been good. She must have had neat parents, or God's just done an awesome work in her life so quickly. But she went with a purpose and with determination. People who don't have a purpose, can you imagine? I can't imagine this. I'm only talking to the guys. But can you imagine somebody saying, you know, I need to go get Johnny a gift. What are you going to get him? A Tonka truck. What does that mean to us? That means Toys R Us, 10 minutes. Is there any other explanation? There's no other definition. Tommy or Johnny. Toys R Us, Tonka truck, 10 minutes, it's done. 9, 10 hours go by. Where have you been? I told you I had to get Johnny a Tonka truck today. You've been shopping this whole night? Well, yeah. Well, what else did you get? Nothing. Wait, what do you mean nothing? Well, I stopped at Nordstrom's, I looked at Macy's, I went to Robinson's, I went to... Just bouncing like a pinball machine off the aisles of the... That was the Main Street Mall there in Santa Ana. I walk up and it says, you are here. Then it says, Macy's. And I'm thinking, what's the... That's the fastest way to... Is it I go around this end or go that way? You go there, you get it, you're gone. That's because you shop with a purpose, with determination. If you don't have a purpose or determination, you know what you do? You shop. Like a bee from flower to flower to flower. That is not Ruth. Ruth gets up, grabs her bag, and off she goes because she wants food in her home for Naomi and for herself. She's got a purpose. So she takes off. And look what it says. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. You got to underline that word happen. The word in Hebrew is, and by the way, it's a sarcasm. We think the author of the book of Ruth, we don't know for sure, but we think the author is Samuel. Regardless of that, the fact is that there's a Hebrew sarcasm here. He's making fun of the situation in a good way. Watch this. He's telling us the story. How God has worked in this pagan girl's life, brought her to this point, moved her from Moab to Bethlehem at the time of the barley harvest. All of these things got set up. And then he says to us, if he was telling us the story, he would say, and it happened Yeah, right. That she stepped into Boaz's field. You see what he's saying? It's a joke. It happened. It's a slam on chance. In fact, the word is that the chance chanced. It's a great, great construction in the Hebrew. It means that those things that happen by chance are not chance at all, but the orchestrating hand of God. That's what he's saying. He's got tongue in his cheek when he's saying it. So it happened. Right. We all know. He would have said, we all know that God's in control. You see? It just happens that she winds up heading off into Boaz's field. Well, you want to know why that's the case? Because 2,000 years or so from this writing of this event, watching this young girl glean, 2,000 years from this point on, down the road, God's got a date with a bunch of shepherds on a hillside in Bethlehem to announce to them that born this day is Christ the Lord in Bethlehem. In these fields, in these caves. You see, God had a date with angels. He was going to send angels to this field to speak to the shepherds. God's got an arrangement with Caesar Augustus to get Joseph and Mary down into Bethlehem for the birthing of the Son. That was written in the prophets. But this is taking place before Micah was ever written, Micah 5, verse 2. You see what God's doing? She had to wind up in the field of Boaz. There was no other way around it. It was God's eternal plan. Well, I wish that was true about my life. That's the whole point of today. It is true for your life. That's why we need to have the faith that Ruth has got. Well, yeah, you don't understand. I just lost my job because God's got another job for you. That's why. Well, you know what? I just came down with this sickness and they don't know why. God knows. Are you overwhelmed by something? You better peel back the veneer and find God in the middle of it all. Because he's there. You and I get so caught up in our natural circumstances that we forget that God is here. Step back. Remember those glasses we talked about earlier? Put the glasses on and see Jesus everywhere. What is it that God is working out in my life? When you go home today, what will you find? When you go tomorrow to wherever, what will you know? I don't know. But I can tell you this, with absolute authority, wherever you go, whatever you do, put Jesus in the middle of it all, the Word of God, and watch what happens to your life. People will go nuts because you've got so much peace. They'll get all upset. How come you're not chewing your nails? You heard what the boss said. Lord's in control. Our lives are invincible until God calls us home. Let God be God and let you and I be the one who follows him. And just trust in him. She's got faith. She reads in the Bible, go glean. That's it. Grabs her bag. Hey, Mom, pray for me that I find somebody that shows favor to me because I'm going to go get some food. Talk to you later. She goes in the Word of God. We are so funny. Lord, just show me left or right, left or right. Have you noticed, have you known this to be true in your life? Have you ever been out of a job? And you see people respond in one of two ways. Number one, people say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm just going to watch soap operas all day and let God bring me a job. That's wrong and that's stupid. You're supposed to get up, and if you worked 8 hours a day at your job, go work 8 hours handing out resumes. At least 8 hours. But get out there. Naomi gets up and grabs a bag. She's going to go get some food. She's not sitting around. And by the way, she is waiting upon the Lord. She's expecting God to do the answering. But you notice people, if you say, Lord, I'm out of a job now. Lead me to the place that you'd have me to go. Get up and start looking for a job and watch this. Is this not true or what? It cracks me up. Remember, you're his child, so it's got to be by faith. Everything's got to be by faith. So you go out and you lay out 200 resumes around the land. What happens? You think one guy's going to call you? It's never one guy. It's always at least two, usually four. Yeah, we're really interested in you. Great guy, just show me which one you want me to have. And then the phone rings again. We're interested in you. Uh-oh. Lord, I already have one. Now I got two. Phone rings again. Now you got four offers for a job. Why doesn't God just give you one job? That's a simple request, isn't it? I'm unemployed. I need a job. Just give me one. No, he won't do that. He'll give you four. And then he's expecting you to pray and find out what his will is for your life. So how do I know which one to pick? I don't know. Well, what if I make a mistake? You could. No, don't talk like that. I mean, this is, hey, you know what? Do the Ruth thing. Get up, ask God to bless it, and move. Start moving. You can't drive a stationary car. It's got to be moving to drive it, to steer it. You've got to be moving for God to steer you and guide you. Yeah, keep your radar up. Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Lord, show me right or left. But by all means, get up and move, will you? You can sit around and go from Bible study to Bible study all your life. And until you put Christianity alive in your life and get up and do something with it, you'll get to be like that fat, plump lamb that sits on the hillside and falls over. And he's got so much wool that all you see is his feet sticking up in the air. He can't get back up because he's so plump. He needs to be sheared. You can go to all these studies around here and get so swamped that it won't do you any good. Because you and I can reach a point where we know so much about God, but put such little into practice that we become stagnant and stale. What do you know about him right now? What do you and I know for sure? Well, I watched a football game yesterday, so I know this for sure. John 3:16. So we know this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would trust in him, believe in him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know that verse? So tell somebody that verse. Wait, Jack, I got to pray about this. What's there to pray about? You see, you and I get this little uncomfortable feeling. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you go, guy. You go, girl. And we begin to seize up and say, go ye therefore in all the world and preach the gospel. Oh, Lord, talk to me. I said, go in all the world. You see? If it makes us a bit uncomfortable to where we've got to trust in him, we don't want anything to do with it. Because you and I want to hold the wheel, pull the strings, and honk the horn. And we call ourselves Christians. We are Christians, and he's nuts about us, and he loves us. Somebody lovingly gave me a little plate, and it says, God is my co-pilot. If God's our co-pilot, we're in trouble. Let God be the pilot. I'll be the co-pilot. But let God be the pilot. I don't want God my co-pilot. I want to be his co-pilot. Let him have the yoke. Let him have the wheel. And so it happens she winds up in Boaz's land. It wasn't an accident. Neither is the situation that you're in right now. The Lord is with you. I'm going to leave you with this thought. We'll be all done here. When that Titanic pulled away from England, that captain of that ship proclaimed, not even God can sink this ship. Some 1,500 people perished at sea. They were lost. Some were saved, miraculously. This morning, I want you to think about something. How do you know? How do you know that you're saved? You know, you just can't look at somebody and say, oh, he's saved, she's not, he is, she is, he is, she isn't, she is. You can't. And coming to church doesn't mean you're saved. You can't say, well, if they go to church, they... No, that doesn't mean anything. Wouldn't it be great? You know, remember when Teddy Ruxpin's came out? There was a little talking bear, and there was a way. They had fraudulent Teddy Ruxpins out there. Well, one of the ways was to pull down his little pants. There was a little signature thing there. Couldn't you imagine if you could look at a Christian like on the back of their neck? Oh yeah, you're saved. You can't do that. How do you know you're saved? Listen, don't answer. You can find out right now. Answer in your own mind silently. If you die today, why should God let you into heaven? What's your answer in your head right now? Don't say it. What's the answer in your head right now? God looks at you and says, why should I let you in? What is your response? Okay, encapsulate that response, and I'm going to give you the correct answer from the Bible. The Bible says that if you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the grave and that he is the Lord, you shall be saved. That means you're trusting in him to save you from all your sins. He died for you. If you said a moment ago, well, because I'm okay, then you're lost. If you said, well, I'm pretty good. I pay my taxes. I give to the church. I'm an usher. You're lost. I can't check the back of your neck to see if you're saved, but I can ask you this. Those of you who are saved can answer this question. Those of you who are not, you don't know what to do with this next question. And it's this. What does it feel like to be lost? You know, something dawned on me the other day. I don't know what it's like to feel saved. People have asked me that. Do you feel saved, Jack? I don't know what that, what do you mean? Do I feel saved? I feel hot. I feel like I need to shave. What do you mean, do I feel saved? I don't know how to answer that. But the other day the question was given, do you remember what it's like to be lost? All of a sudden I could answer that. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I know. I know what it feels like to be lost. I remember living when I was afraid to die. I remember living when I was afraid that heaven and hell might be real. I was afraid because I thought God could possibly be real. I was afraid thinking the Bible could be real. I remember living and being afraid that I was away from God. Then I looked into the Bible and found out that I was lost. Because the Bible says that by the keeping of the law, by being good, no one will be acceptable in his sight. So if your answer this morning was, I'm pretty good, you're lost. And you're afraid to die. You have no direction in your life. You hang on to the wheel because you know what? You're afraid to death. Somebody else might touch it. You've got to be in control. I don't know what it's like to feel saved. It's by faith. But I certainly know what it's like to feel lost. And I don't feel that anymore.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at the first three verses of Ruth chapter 2, it's a presentation called The Kind of Faith We Need to Have. This is a new series we've begun recently here on Real Radio, and tomorrow we'll continue with more. If you're benefiting from Real Radio, we'd like to hear from you. That's why we've made available the means to do so. You can get in touch with us here at Real Radio by telephone. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can visit us at realradioactive.org. Once you're there, you'll know which buttons to click, realradioactive.org. Or the traditional way, you can write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.